What's up, Pewter peeps, and welcome in to the all-new PewterCast, your favorite spot for Bucks news, analysis, takes hot and otherwise, and of course, the official Bucks podcast of the Fansided Network. That is Ren. Hello. I am Steve Carney. It is great to have you here today on YouTube as we are live streaming this here on this Friday. Friday episode of the PewterCast this week. And of course, anybody who is listening to the audio version of this on any place you get your favorite podcast, we want to thank you for letting us tag along. Ren, how has your week been?
It's been good. It's been fine. You know, had the 1 year checkup on the new air handler. Everything's fine. Still working, you know, optimal. Yes.
AC, very important, especially now.
Yes, it's all tuned and it's been doing great. Apparently, that's what they tell us. So that's nice. Looking into solar paneling, doing that. You know,
those are all good things, especially being here in Florida to help keep your energy costs down and keep your electric costs down. And of course, solar is so smart in this city and in this area. Because we get so much sun throughout the year, just makes sense to be able to use it. Now I live in a condo, so if I was to try and put solar, I would have to solarize the entire building, and let me tell you, that ain't happening. So for me, this week has been all about trying to fix things. My wife's car,
our car blew up too.
What
was wrong with yours?
My wife drives a Nissan, and it's a great car, but it's close to 10 years old now. And so about a year ago, in fact, almost exactly a year ago, she had one of the ignition coils go on it. So it was running just absolutely awful as she's trying to come back from, I don't know, Target or Publix someplace and having it go out on her on Gandy Boulevard, where she can only go like 30 miles an hour. And it sounds like she's driving a steam locomotive because it's so loud. So one of them went about a year ago, and I guess it was yesterday. The second one went out of the four ignition coils. So I took it to my local mechanic and told him that he just needed to replace all of them, the rest of them, the other three that were in there. And so thank you to Steve Martucci and everybody at Michelle's Ultimate Auto Care here in St. Petersburg, who have done wonders for me over the last 12 months with my wife's car. So thank you. He is not a sponsor of the show, but hopefully we can get some of these local businesses to come on board here very soon.
My car story won't be nearly as long. The water pump blew. Took out a couple of belts with it. Well, we have fun. A guy that comes to the house. Like, he's, you know, he's like one of those dudes, like 120 pounds, and, you know, looks like, you know, his face looks like a map of like the old West trail, you know. And he, you know, he wears Wrangler jeans and he smokes and he works out of his minivan and it's really cheap and he fixes it and it's great and it takes him a day. But you got to get to him. Like, he's like everyone. I shouldn't say everyone, but like, he's always so busy and he's just a dude that pulls up in his minivan. But, you know, he can fix absolutely anything. He goes, yep, water pump blew. He's like, I got to go to the store. I'll be back. Comes back, puts everything together, drives around, makes sure it's fine. He goes, okay. And then his prices are just ridiculous. So it's like, okay, that'll be a C parts for 200. So how about $300, you know, and he worked like 8 hours on it.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Thanks, Ken. See you later.
Yeah. This, Steve and the folks at Michelle's, you know, I brought it in 9:15 yesterday morning. And, they were like, yeah, we might be able to get it to it today. It probably will be tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, my wife is working it from home. So it's not a big deal. And by noon, they had my car in and up, and they were like, and they told me, yep, it's exactly what we thought it was. And by 4:15, it was ready to go. They had gotten everything taken care of it. And his prices also, I mean, for something that was probably, I don't know, $2,000, $2,500 at a dealership, I got for under $700.
There you go.
I mean, you can't beat that. Can't
are
be
you trying to one up my old man Ken?
No, with old man Ken coming. Old man Ken coming to your house. That's impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
That is very impressive.
Working out of the Honda Odyssey.
That is to keep one of those things going is very impressive as well. Right, almost exactly. Impressive. It's almost as impressive, Ren, as your thorough beating of me when it came to our mock drafts from last week.
Yeah. Last show. Oh, look at the ticker. Ren dominates draft poll.
He did. It wasn't even close. And then I mean, I expect that because you are,
Well known in the Bucks community. Bucks
You're dialed in. You're dialed in. That's all they know. They know that you are dialed in on what Jason Light wants to do.
Excuses start early.
No, okay. no excuses. I got thoroughly dominated. It says it on the crawl.
It's got to be true. It's on the crawl.
Let's face it. The one piece that I probably got right is the Miners pick.
Yeah.
From Wisconsin Whitewater. I think that, and I just thought it was hilarious that somebody put up the video of Miners doing his bench press at his pro day with a broken hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then someone
tagged us in it
and said, look at this guy. And I said, oh, one of us had that guy. and you responded rightfully by saying, and one of us dominated the other.
I got the better center anyway. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind having them both, like Dickerson and Miners, like 1-2.
Yeah.
Round one, round two.
Yeah. I think that would be great. And I look at Miners as a guy that you can play center and play guard if need be.
Same with Dickerson.
Yeah, I mean, Dickerson's that way as well. Alabama guys, though, man. Alabama. There's a lot of expectations on guys from Alabama.
Yeah, a lot of people think that, you know, players that come out of Alabama are already at their peak. Like, they don't, like, develop more.
Yeah, there's no ceiling. They're at their ceiling,
yeah, at Alabama. Because they're like offensive and defensively, they're coached by NFL coaches or were NFL coaches. And then they move on and get more NFL coaching jobs. And then they have guys on their staff that are like, oh, yeah, he's the, you know, offense quality coach. And, you know, well, really, what's his name? Oh, yeah, he's been, you know, the Tennessee Titans head coach the past 8 years. It's become this spot when you're an NFL coach, you don't have a job. You go to Alabama and you hang out for a couple years and you go back and then you get a job, a high paying, like a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, you know.
Yeah, or you become a head coach at Ole Miss like Steve Sarkisian.
They do well. But I think Dickerson, I don't think Dickerson really falls into that mold. The Alabama's offensive line hasn't really fallen into that mold. It used to be like their DBs, but I think they've gotten away from that. Right now, it just kind of seems to be their defensive line.
Yeah.
You know, are the guys that, you know, are like, oh man, this guy's a top five pick and he gets picked top five. And it's not that they're not good. They just don't come in and, you know, have, you know, these careers, at least right off the bat, 2-3 years where they're talked about making Pro Bowls and things like that.
Yeah. So if you missed the draft last week, Ren took Phillips out of Miami, Dickerson, Gainwell, Mills, Scott, Mills, the North Carolina Central cornerback.
Overdrafted, apparently.
Overdrafted. Scott, Wells, and a kicker, and got two draft picks in 2022, a second and a third. I went with Cox, Miners, Shelvin, Daniel, Tony, Milne, Coleman, the best name in the draft in Puka Williams out of Kansas, and then a second, a third, and a fifth pick in 2022. And yet with 37,000 votes, You dominated me 68% to 32% in
the I think the top of my draft is what won it. People knew who those people were. And I think even though Cox wasn't for your first pick to be a backup to Levante, come not to see the field for 2 years, is kind of, even though, you know, he fits the mold of the linebackers, I think that's what hurt you most. Two things, name recognition with my draft and sort of taking a linebacker as your first pick, an off-ball linebacker as your first pick, you know.
Just, it was,
and plus people dislike me better. I mean, I'm just, I'm a nicer guy.
Yes.
My mechanics better.
You're nicer. Your mechanics are better. You're smarter. You're more handsome.
More good looking.
Yes.
What's that? Happy, yes. Happy Gilmore. Okay. Yeah. As long as you got that straight.
That's right. That's with right. Chubbs. So
Chubbs.
I took his hand. I took his head. So a 68% tilt towards Wren from our drafts. You know, we've got the draft coming up now in less than 2 weeks. The 29th is night number one. We'll be out there with the fans. Big storm brewing for Joe Bucks fans party. I will be coming straight over from the Rays game that afternoon. So I've got a Rays game at 1:10 and I will be hauling ass to Big Storm afterwards.
You'll make plenty.
Well, no, I got a haul ass over there because I want to have a beer or two before we go live. Come on,
That's true.
We want to have some fun.
Got to grease the wheels.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we're gonna be doing a giveaway. I forgot. Yep. Me find this. Is this the one? That's the one.
That's it. Yeah.
If you're watching YouTube, and if you're not, what it is, a poster of the second Rob Gronkowski touchdown. It's a giveaway. So for $10, we're going to buy you a beer and you also get a ticket, and the ticket goes into the bucket, which is a raffle for this, X's and O's poster of, it says like when it happened, what quarter it happened, what down it was. And then also has the quoted
the television
text.
Play-by-play.
Yes. Yes. Down at the bottom. And it's real sharp, man. The guy who won the first one, Wash, he, DM'd me and sent a picture out. He got his framed and it's already hanging up on his wall. So
nice.
We'll be doing that and some other things. I talked to somebody DM'd me yesterday. Oh no.
Here helps we go. If
someone,
there we go.
Someone DM'd me yesterday about wanting his son's like going to USF, and he created these, you know, these t-shirts that are you know, Buccaneer related t-shirts, and he's like, can you talk about them on your pod? And I didn't tell him no. What I said was, hey, come out to Joe Bucks Fan, you know, Big Storm Brew, and we'll be out there and we'll put them on your table. And if you want to sell some t-shirts while we're out there, you know, whatever you can sell, you can sell. And
we take an affordable cut.
Yes, affordable cut, only 70%. We're like That's a podcast network.
That's how it works. But yeah, come out on April 29th to Big Storm Brewing. Ren and I will be out there along with the folks at Joe Bucks Fan for their night one draft party. And we'll see if the Bucks actually draft a player as they pick 32nd. So we may be all liquored up as the Bucks make a trade down and out of the first round, and then we can really get angry. So we'll figure that all out in due time. But this week, we've got some big news involving the roster and issues that may come up with it, the salary cap. We will get to that here in just a moment on the PeterCast. This episode of the PeterCast is brought to you in part by Danette May and Mindful Health LLC, featuring Danette May's top superfood product from her Earth Echo Food Lines, Cacao Bliss. You're a chocolate guy, right, Ren? I love chocolate.
Who's not a chocolate person?
Yeah, and let me tell you, there's nothing that feels better than being able to enjoy some rich, smooth, creamy chocolate, knowing that you're doing something good for your body. As Danette May and Mindful Health LLC and Earth Echo Foods, they start with 100% organic cacao beans that are naturally kissed by the sun. Kissed! And they maintain their miraculous health benefits.
Don't do that next time.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry. My Bill Raftery shows up with a kiss. And then they take those 100% organic cacao beans and they blend them with great stuff like turmeric, MCT oil, coconut, Himalayan sea salt, cinnamon, and black pepper. It's got the perfect blend to make you feel the best you ever have. And the results, well, you can fall in love with a truly decadent, healthy, guilt-free chocolate. It removes your cravings. It helps facilitate weight loss, boosts energy, and reduces your inflammation with one simple drink. Not only that, it's paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegan, and vegetarian-friendly as well. And for the last 8 years, they've been a leader in the superfoods market. They're proud to have served millions of customers worldwide, and you can get a little bit of a discount here from us at the PeterCast. 15% off. You go to earthecofoods.com/MinuteMedia. Use the code MINUTE and get 15% off on your order. Again, earthecofoods.com/MinuteMedia and use the code MINUTE to get 15% off on.
I can't wait for mine.
Cacao Bliss. I'm a big chocolate guy, and I like the fact
it's like
that
healthy chocolate.
Healthy chocolate with a little bit of turmeric and a little bit of pepper to help kind of smooth weight loss. I could really use.
Hey man, cayenne and chocolate is a nice,
delicious.
It's a really good flavor combo that a lot of people don't know about.
Absolutely. So again, earthecofoods.com/MinuteMedia. Use the promo code MINUTE, people. Save 15%. So, Ren, we've got, it seems like every week someone else either wants to come back to the Buccaneers or someone else wants to come to the Buccaneers. And we've got three more signings this week to help round out the roster, if you know what I mean. And two of these guys are guys.
I don't know what you mean. Would you like to explain further?
Rounding out the roster, make it nice and full.
Okay. I thought maybe that was an innuendo. I was gonna catch you.
No, I wouldn't.
People could yell at you at Twitter.
Well, I mean, they're gonna yell at me.
Hear what Carney said on the PeterCast.
They say it anyway, so it doesn't matter. But you know, I'm kind of surprised with one of these because I thought
which one?
McClendon. To be honest,
yeah.
I thought McClendon was going to retire.
Yeah, he will be the oldest player to take a defensive snap in the NFL. For the second year in a row, he won his ring. He could have said it was over.
Off.
But the Bucs, needed depth at the interior defensive line, but they also need to get younger. So they got half. They got a part of that.
Yeah,
with McClendon.
They certainly did. His cap number just under $1 million, $987,000 for 2021.
Right.
And then they go out and bring back Ross Cockrell. As well, his cap number is also just under $1 million at $990,000. And then this is the one that I think has surprised a lot of people because they bring back Leonard Fournette.
Right.
And all of a sudden, here comes Gio Bernard to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, apparently on the advice of James White, which I think is very interesting.
Well, I don't want to say it's on the vice of James White, but reached out to White, who apparently they've known each other since high school. They both went to, St. Mary's Aquinas? I know it's Aquinas down there in Miami. It's a powerhouse high school.
St. Thomas Aquinas.
St. Thomas, thank you. Aquinas, there is no St.
St. Mary Aquinas is the girls' school for St. Thomas Aquinas.
I don't think there is a St. Mary. So anyway, but they've been a powerhouse down in Miami, and they've cranked out a lot of NFL talent down there. They're a high school down there. So he asked James White about Tom Brady, and of course James White had all these glowing reviews. So I don't think it was exactly based off what like, hey, James, should I go to the Bucks? It was more like,
no,
what am I getting myself into if
I go the Bucks are saying they're interested. James White's like, go, they're going to win another Super Bowl.
Yeah. And, a lot of fans, and rightfully so, were talking about, James White earlier this year. I think, and we talked about Bernard back when it was kind of surfacing that he could be a guy. I think it was right after James White re-signed with the Patriots. Bucks fans are looking for a third down back with more reliable hands than Leonard Fournette or Ronald Jones. Obviously, okay, no problem. But I think Giovanni Bernard is better because he can still run the ball between the tackles. With James White, they didn't give him the ball a lot last year, and they really didn't throw a lot to him last year. Yeah. Because Cam Newton's quarterback and not Tom Brady. So it was really kind of hard to judge what James White had left. But, looking at Bernard and looking at his numbers and his rushing numbers and his receiving numbers, and then, I didn't know this guy from a hole in the ground. I knew who he was. But listening to his press conference, like, I really like him. Like, I really like him. I just think he's just a genuine dude. Of course, he says all the right things, but when it comes out of his mouth, like, you believe it. Like, it's not just sort of, you know,
It's not just window dressing.
Yeah.
And the thing I like about Gio Bernard is the fact that he's got that much tread left on his tires. I mean, this is a guy that had some really good years in Cincinnati, and then they went out and got Joe Mixon, and they've made Mixon the primary ball carrier
the last
3-4 years. And now you're looking at a guy that is still has some tread on his tires. I think that's a big plus, because now I think he can be more than just a third down back if need be. I mean, you don't expect him to be, because you have Ronald Jones coming. You have Ronald Jones and you have Leonard Fournette coming back for one more year. You're looking for a guy that is going to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield, but this is a guy that can also run between the tackles if need be, and does provide that sort of, he can be the bell cow back, because he's proven he can be.
He
even did it last year when Joe Mixon got hurt.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why he's there. You know, if Fournette gets hurt, or, you know, he turned into a big baby again and they bench him for a little while. And then, you know, Ronald Jones hasn't been injury free for his entire career as a Buck. So, you know, it's just your third running back can, you know, you're not going to get this huge drop off, at your third running back spot. Like, you don't have to change your game plan. You know, you can still run if you want to run power, say you're playing the Jets, and, you know, okay, we're not, but like, the game plan is like, okay, this, the best way for us to win this game is to control the clock with a power running game. And if Fournette and Jones are out, you can still do it with Bernard, and it's proven, and you know what you got. So, excellent signing. I think it's actually a better signing than James White would have been, because of all the question marks sort of, you know, of running the ball between the tackle with James White, and how much he, you know, like you said about Gio, how much, you know, tread left on the tires for White, which is unfair because it's not like he had a drop off. They just didn't give him the ball.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a proven commodity, and it's a great pickup. And, you know, finally the Bucks went out and got somebody that, you know, didn't have the red rouge. That's a little redundant. What do they call it? What is that flag called? Was it the rouge or something? I know it means like we're going into battle, but there was a name for it when they first changed the uniform. Carney gave me a single eyebrow. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe the Red Rouge flag is what I'm calling it. And I don't care. That's what it is.
Go for it.
Thank you. The Bucks finally brought somebody in that didn't have the RR on their helmet last year.
There you go. And the other thing is, you know, I think that most people, when they think of Patriots running backs, you know, when you think of James White, the first name that always came to me was Deion Lewis, you know, the guy that, you know, was able to do it there, but wasn't able to do it anywhere else. And so,
Tennessee and
yeah,
you know, Tennessee, it's like when Adam Humphries left the Buccaneers and he had the choice, like he, you know, had agreed to go to Tennessee, the New England came after him and gave him, you know, offered him more money. And he was like, nah, I'm going to go to Tennessee. But they just don't throw the ball to Humphries. It's not like he forgot how to get open or forgot how to catch the ball, you know, and he was really good at contested catches, you know, across the middle coming out of the slot, but they just didn't use him. So I don't know if, you know, kind of like Deion Lewis, like, is there, you know. I don't want to bang on D.S. Lewis and say he was a total failure, but again, like, then why did Tennessee sign him? Why did the Tennessee sign either of those two guys? They weren't going to use him.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're going to get Bernard for even less than what White got from New England. I mean, White's number is $1.2 million there, and Bernard's under $1 million bucks. And you might be getting the better of the deal, but that still leaves the Bucks in kind of a lurch, Ren, because we know that, you know, you got to have money to sign your draft picks. You got to have money to, you know, in just in case, like a rainy day fund. Like, someone's gone down. What do we do now? You don't want to be stuck up against the glass ceiling with nowhere to go.
The Bucks usually are right around $3 million they use for injuries during the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they need
right now. Yeah. Right now, the team is just a shade over $1 million under the cap with everybody signed.
Mm-hmm.
You're still probably going to need at least another seven, maybe up to as much as $8 million in cap space that you're going to need to generate in order to make sure that you get through the 2021 season in one piece.
Yeah.
And that's where, and this is where we come to the big question of the day.
Yes.
That is
where's it going to come from?
Are the moves going to be? For it.
Well, the two obvious ones are obviously restructuring Jensen,
mm-hmm.
you know, or restructuring, not really restructuring, but just asking Cambray to take a cut, or outright releasing Cambray. So where are you? Which one do you think of those two? Or do you have another one? Of course, you're allowed to bring that up as well.
Yeah.
But of those two, which one do you think the Bucks do and which one would you rather see?
You know, right now, and to be honest, I don't have another idea, because you look at the guys that have, even though you just signed him, you cut him before June 1st, save all that money. Now, here's the thing: you're looking for a significant amount of money, and who's to say that they don't do both of those things?
True.
You know, you're looking at if you're going to restructure Ryan Jensen, his number this year is $10 million. You could add a couple avoidable years. You turn his salary into a signing bonus. You're able to put it out over, say, two or three. You sign him to two extra voidable years. And you do that.
Would you give him one more year and then two voidable years, or are you looking at just giving him the cash now? Like, say, like, we want to get $5 million for the cap off of Jensen. So of your $10 million, we're going to give you $5 million now. You're only going to count $5 million against the cap this year. Do you give him another year, or do you, and then two voidable years? Or are you thinking like, just give him the $5 million and then add on the two voidable years and spread that $5 million over two?
Well, I think what you end up doing is you end up, because he's only signed through the end of this year.
Yeah,
if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So what you can do is you can convert that salary into a signing bonus. You add two voidable years straight on, and now his cap number goes from $10 million to $3.3 million this year, and you've saved yourself $6 million.
Okay, and you spread that $6 million over the next two voidable years.
Yes, exactly. And then you probably are telling Cam Brate that, you know, you're not making $6.25 million this year.
Come on,
sorry,
Cam.
Bud.
Come on, Cam. Sorry, went to Harvard.
Yeah, you know the name of this game. Right. And you ask Cam to take probably you ask him to go down to. Yes, we were down to $3 million.
Cut it in half, 50%.
No, Cam,
we're putting your contract on clearance.
No. You ask him to take a cut to three, mm-hmm. and if he says no, you say, okay, we'll make it four.
Okay, Cam, you got us over a barrel.
All right, we like you. We like you, Cam. Give us $2.25 million, and now all of a sudden you have your $8 million plus the $1 million that you already have. That you're under the cap. Now you're at $9 million. And that gives you a chance to sign all your draft picks. It gives you a chance to have the oh crap fund in case someone goes down like Vita Vea, you know, getting rolled up on again. Knock on wood, that doesn't happen. But
I think it'd have to be a defensive tackle. I think they're okay with McClendon and Nacho. It'd have to be somebody like Sue or Golson. Mm-hmm. I think for them to go out and sign another veteran or make a trade like they did for McClendon.
Yeah. But still, you get the crap fund.
You're allowed to swear.
I know, but I don't, I tend not to.
I tend not to, but I do. Like, so, I'll do it on this show.
Yeah.
Especially prior to last year.
So that would be my, if I'm Jason Light, That's how I'm doing it. I'm adding.
That's how you're finding the money.
That's how I'm finding the money. I'm adding two voidable years to Jensen. And maybe you do say, okay, we'll sign you for one more year with two voidable years on top of that. And mm-hmm. you're able to, you know, make it $5 million and then convert everything to signing bonus next. You convert this year to signing bonus. You give them $5 million or $8 million for next year, and then spread the $10 million that you have over 3 years. And now he's down to $2.5 million instead of $3.3 million.
Yeah.
So maybe do something like that.
That's the way I would do it. I would want to give Jensen another year of guaranteed money, and then put the voidable years on the end. With Braid, I like your idea. You know, cutting in half feels a little too much to ask. So taking, you know, two of his six and just giving him four. But so far, like, he was on a podcast and, you know, he said, you know, no news is good news. So he hasn't heard from his agents, and the Bucks haven't, you know, obviously cut him or asked him to do a little more. And Crusader there in the chat says, you know, that you can rework Mike Evans again. You could rework Ali Marpet again. Any guys that have, who are cornerstones that have a long contract, you could rework. Like,
the problem with Mike is that he's already $13 million in dead cap space. So
going forward, yeah,
for this year, he's already $13 million. So if you cut him, you only say, you know, he's only got $3 million of to work around.
Oh, I got you.
So I mean, you're already on the hook for $13 million. I don't think you're going to rework Mike this year. I don't think you rework Mike next year because it's almost 50-50. Although it's $8 million in debt, or just under $9 million in dead cap money, and just over $9 million of savings. So it's almost worth it in 2022. It's definitely worth it in 2023.
Yeah.
But
so Mike sort of tapped out for it to make any financial sense towards the cap, right?
Yeah,
now.
It does not make sense really to work out Mike Evans right now because it's so heavy dead cap money.
Stupid idea, Crusader.
No, it's not. It's not a stupid idea, but it's probably a year, at least a year too premature.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, we're back to Jensen and Braid.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. It's going to be Jensen and Braid that are going to have to be amenable to making things.
Something's
got
to give. Something's got to happen. Now, here's my question to you: does this happen before or after the draft? I say after, because I think the more I look at the draft and the more I wait, I think that, you know, what I pick Dickerson at one and you pick Miners at two, I think, you know, that's going to have, there's going to be an interior for offensive linemen picked in round one, or I should say day one or day two by the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. I think that's almost a given, you know, sort of a lock, if you will. So, but I don't think the Bucks would feel comfortable, and I think it's probably the best move, it's probably the smartest move, is to wait to make sure that you get an interior offensive lineman before you go ahead and restructure Jensen's contract to find the money.
Yeah, I almost wonder if you might do one and not the other before the draft. Like, you might
needs to happen no matter what.
Well, yeah. Well, just so you have, so you know, you have at least some of the cash to sign your draft picks. Like, maybe you say, okay, we'll make Braid take his pay cut, because if he doesn't want to take his pay cut, you're going to cut him and you're going to save $6 million anyway.
Right.
So that's the easy part of this. It's okay.
You're saying one and one.
Yeah. Maybe you have,
no maybes.
All right. I'll say that you get Braid to take the pay cut before the draft.
Okay.
And then you restructure Jensen afterwards.
All right. I like it. So I think they're both going to happen afterwards. I think, and I think it's just because they want to do Braid a solid. I think they're going to try everything they can do to not cut Braid's salary 2 years in a row.
Poor Cam. Poor Cam. He's got school loans he's going to pay off.
I think he's got them covered.
Yeah. Well, Harvard doesn't give you scholarships for football, so.
They don't?
No. Ivy League, no athletic scholarships.
Really?
Yeah.
Then how does the University of Penn dominate the Ivy League?
In football?
In everything.
Well, it's in Philadelphia. Everybody wants to go to Philadelphia, don't they?
Yeah. the jewel of Pennsylvania.
The Philly. Jewel of Pennsylvania, yes.
I do want to visit Philly. I definitely want to do the Freedom Walk. I like history. I love history. I love museums and things like that. So I got to make a trip to Philly. Our next trip has got to be to D.C. And every time I say that, we end up going somewhere in Europe. it's like let's go to DC, okay, and then it's like, you know, and then there's a charge that says, what are these tickets to Italy? It's like, oh yeah, we're going to Italy. Well, okay,
Monaco.
Yeah, exactly.
As someone that's been to Monaco, I definitely recommend it. So it's an enjoyable time, especially in the summer when it's not quite so warm. So I just think that, you know, with that, yeah, I mean, there's your answer. And Crusader, you can take your dunce cap off, because we're not calling you stupid. I'm calling you early. You're thinking two moves ahead, which is good.
Sure.
Yeah. You're thinking multiple moves ahead. So
the big question is, does this affect the draft strategy? Signing Cockrell, signing McClendon, and signing Bernard. Does this change the draft strategy, or at least in your mind, does this change the way the Bucks you thought could or should go? Do any of these signings sort of like put anything on the back burner? Like with McClendon, does, like, you know, having to take a defensive tackle day one or day two, does that put that on the back burner?
Or I have an all linebacker going in day two. So maybe it's not the right question to ask me. No, I look at if they are going to stay at 32. And Christian Barmore is still on the board at 32, which is very extremely likely. I think they're going to take him. I think that they're looking at,
Barmore's going to be there.
I don't. Well, it's likely though. I'm not saying you will.
I don't. I think he's going top 20.
Really? Wow.
I do.
If he goes top 20, I think we can almost guarantee that the Bucks are going to trade out.
but what if ATN or Harris is there, or Williams out of North Carolina?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because even though they just signed Gio or Bernard, like the only guy who's on the 2022 roster right now is Keyshawn Vaughn. Because Fournette, Jones, and Bernard are all in their last deal or 1 year deals or however you want to say it. Like, none of them are under contract for 2022.
Yeah, that's right. Cause Jones was not a first round pick. So he does not have the fifth year option. Mm-mm. That could be interesting.
So like, do you think does that change the running back spot for you? If one of those three are there, what's your favorite running back?
My favorite running back is the one that they're going to get in the fifth round. Okay. I'm one of those guys that it's almost a hard and fast rule that you never pick a running back in the first round.
Even if it's the first pick of the second round. How about if I word it that way? It's the first pick of the second round. It's not the last pick of the first.
So you're talking about them going and,
I'm just saying at 32, it's really hard. I get the argument, like, don't take a running back in the first round, especially if you're top 10, probably top 15. Top 20 I'll make an argument for, but you're at 32.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at Doug Martin. I get Doug Martin flashbacks.
Doug Martin was a good back, man.
I mean, I like Doug, but it's just kind of...
it doesn't matter with you. You weren't going to take a running back anyway.
I was not.
Does it take to? And you already went on record saying it wouldn't take Barmore off the board for you, even though I don't think he's going to be there. But that's irrelevant. But if he is, you thinking the McClendon draft, because he's kind of more of a nose guard anyway. But yeah. The McClendon pick doesn't take Barmer off the board for you.
That's true. Yeah.
Does the Cockrell signing take a cornerback off the board for you at 32?
At that point, I mean, Cockrell's a special teams guy for me.
He's so, emergency, you know, break glass. Yeah.
So, I'm not thoroughly, convinced that, you know, if there's
back a corner crusader.
Yeah. Crusaders. Now, what if they take a quarterback?
Turn around.
Yeah.
Put the hat back on.
That's right. Go back and count to 1,000. But I'm okay. If there's one of the corners that have really if corners fallen that far, like if we're talking about, you know, a defensive back falling from, you know, the upper 20s or even the mid 20s to 32.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be a reason why.
Well, I'm not saying a corner's falling. I'm just saying like if Newsom from Northwestern's there.
Yeah.
Or I'm a guy.
Oh, if Newsom's there, I would take him.
Yeah. Or the injured guy Cockrell's
signing does not rule any of that out.
I'm with you. I don't think any of these signings whatsoever change their draft strategy at all. Jason Light has always said that you want to go into the draft like with a team that can start the season. Mm-hmm. Like, drafts are just extra. You don't want to, you know, have to draft for need. Now, it hasn't always worked out 100% that way. You know,
no, because they needed Winston at that.
They needed Tristan Wirfs, and they didn't really need Antonio Winfield, but it was a nice upgrade. But so when need and, you know, player grade match up somewhere, that's the player you normally take. And you go, well, you know, he was the best player available with need. But with this draft, like what you really need are younger edge and younger interior defensive linemen. That's what you need. Maybe an interior offensive lineman because Kappa is also a free agent next year. Yep. And we talked about Jensen as of right now, he's a free agent next year. You know, and we always talk about, well, you can't keep both of them. Well, after this year, well, Jesus, you might. But, you know, you always got to prepare for the worst case scenario in the future. So that's why I understand interior offensive linemen. So I don't think any of these signings changed the draft for the Buccaneers at all. You know, even for running back, you know, if one of those three that I think everyone likes are there. I think that's a possibility. I still think corner's a possibility. I don't think defensive tackle's a possibility, but I don't think that's because of McClendon. I think that because the only guy worth taking at 32 is going to be gone somewhere in the top 20.
Yeah.
Now, if Barmore's there at 32, you know, me and you will be having that debate at midnight on Thursday.
Probably after 5 or 6 big storm beers.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, so that's where I am on these signings. I think they're all really help out the team. Like, I like all the players. I think they're worth more than all of them are getting paid. Mm-hmm. And I think they're all going to play, except for maybe Cockrell. I mean, as a down-to-down player. But Bernard's going to play almost every game. McClendon's going to play almost every game.
Yeah.
Excluding special teams, Cockrell will not. But I think they're all great.
I like them all. Let's get to Crusader's question about the quarterback. Yes. Is there a quarterback outside the top three that we like? I think anybody outside of the top three has question marks. You know, Trevor Lawrence, right? No question marks. Zach Wilson, no question marks. Justin Fields, no question marks. Everybody else outside of those, the top three, is going to have question marks. You know, Trask is got question marks. You know,
right.
Trey Lance, what is he, only played like 12 games or something like that? He's played 12 or what is it, 13 collegiate games in his career. You know, right. he compares to Mitchell Trubisky, you know, and we know how well that worked out for the Chicago Bears. Mac Jones, you know, Alabama quarterback, you know.
Name one. It's not Joe Montana. Or excuse me, Joe Namath.
Joe Namath. I mean, Tua, but Tua.
Crusader, I need that dunce cap.
You know, Tua, but, you know, Tua's the jury's out on Tua.
Yeah.
Ricks likes Kellen Mond. You know, but if you look, you know, the letter grades, you know, Charlie Campbell, Walter Football has the, you know, the how he's graded the quarterback class. You know, the early guys are A's, of course, you know, but everything after that is average at best.
So do you like any of them? I have a guy I like.
I
think we've talked about him on the show. Yeah, when we did like sort of like other guys besides, you know, when we did that show where we talked about other players that we liked, where I picked, like, I couldn't read Derek Barnes' name, the linebacker out of Purdue.
That was funny.
And then the next day, John Leather's like, look at this guy. I'm like,
son of a.
Yeah. We look for fast, speedy guys on defense and things like that. Yeah, so I talk about Davis Mills. And the more I hear people talk about him, he's the guy after the big four. I'll say the big four because I'm going to throw. I always want to call him Trevor Lawrence, but not the guy from North Dakota State.
Oh, Trey Lance.
Trey Lance, thank you. After, you know, he's considered in the top four. I would take Davis above Mac Jones. Maybe I'd have to really do a deep dive. I definitely would take him over Kyle Trask for sure. Mm-hmm. The things that Davis Mills doesn't have is like the kid from North Coast, Trey Lance. I got it. He's only played like six games because of, you know, COVID this year. But he was a number one recruit out of high school, well, a handful of years ago. He's got all the tools, like the size, and he's really good across the middle of the field. So sort of like the intermediate passing game he's good at, and he has to get a little more touch on his deep ball. But he's only had six college games. And I think people say, like, go watch the UCLA game where you see him at his best and worst. He like throws like four touchdowns and three interceptions. And it's like there he is. So as a guy, if like Davis is there in round two, like I wouldn't mind picking him up. I'm sure there's gonna be other players I would rather at, you know, when push comes to shove, you know, if Miners is on there, I'd be like, no, take Miners. But round three, if Davis is still there, I would want the Bucks to take Davis Mills in round three. I just would, because you know, we know the story why. You got to get a guy in the hopper, developmental. Just take Ryan Griffith's spot, who's not signed, but take the third quarterback spot, and they're probably going to bring back Blaine Gabbert, who, by the way, can win 10 games in this offense with his eyes closed. So quit.
Hey, if Matt Castle can.
Yeah,
Castle can win 10 games in the National Football League, filling in for Tom Brady, you know Blaine Gabbert can. You know, the thing with Kellen Mond is I think that the gap between what he could be and what he might be is very, very wide. Like, you know, could he be Patrick Mahomes? You know,
No,
but he's more likely to be Johnny Manziel.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
a lot of things got to go perfect for Texas Kellen Mond to be a starter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but he's a guy with a big arm, you know, that throws a lot. I mean, so you could be,
he can run, he can be a dual threat, you know, but I mean,
Jamie Newman intrigues me late.
Right.
Because, you know, going to Georgia, you know, the big Wake Forest, you know, the career at Wake Forest, going to Georgia and then opting out.
Yeah,
he's a guy that intrigues me late,
right?
Very late.
Another
like maybe undrafted late.
Yeah, he's another one of those dual threat guys, and it seems the NFL seems to be leaning that way more and more and more. You know, but yeah. So my guy is Davis Mills. That's the guy I would go for. If you had to pick one, who would it be? Doesn't matter which round, like it's opening day of training camp. The Bucks' third or fourth quarterback is, and I'm glad he's there.
Jamie Newman.
Wow. All right.
So
I'm gonna put that and write that down.
Yep, there we go. That's gonna be on the crawl in a couple of months.
No, it's like 3
Carney's
years
now. An idiot.
Anytime you like question anything I say, I go, remember like 2 years ago when you said Jamie Newman was the guy?
could be worse. You should ask Matt Perot of Yahoo Sports about my comment about about Josh Freeman. That was me opening my mouth and inserting my foot. I'm not mentioning it here.
Okay, I have to say, can I just ask you now? No, I gotta go hunt this guy down.
No, you gotta go hunt Perot down, because he'll tell you what an idiot I was. And I love Matt, so and he's absolutely right. I was a complete moron that day. But these are all decisions that Jason Light's gonna have to make. Mm-hmm. And Jason Light has received some more accolades, if you will. That's a Spice Adams reference.
No one knows who Spice Adams is.
You don't know who Spice Adams is?
I don't, and neither does the rest of America. Who's Spice Adams? Okay.
Spice Adams used to play defensive tackle for the Chicago Bears. He's a big Instagram. He's big on Instagram.
Oh, well, there you
Huge
go.
Huge okay. on Instagram.
Okay. I don't. Yeah. I'm not a grammar.
Oh yeah. And he's John Gilmore's, former, roommate at Penn State.
Who's John Gilmore?
He does the Bucks radio studio shows with Ronnie Lane.
Okay, okay. Yes, yes. Okay, I do know that. Okay.
Former Bucks tight end.
Yes, yes.
So, but Jason Light's got some new accolades, and we'll talk about that here next on the PewterCast. So, Ren, we've got the new GM power rankings out. From our buddy Greg Rosenthal,
our good friend
from the NFL, NFL.com, the NFL Network. And kind of interesting where Jason Light falls, because I think if this was, say, 2 or 3 years ago, there is no way that Jason Light is where he is.
No.
Right now, Jason Light on Greg Rosenthal's list of general manager power rankings. Mm-hmm. Is third in the NFL.
Right. He's
number 3 behind Chris Ballard of the Indianapolis Colts and Kevin Colbert of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Before we get into this, do you have the list in front of you?
I do.
Who's last?
I
forgot number to scroll down.
30, as I scroll down here, is
New York Jets.
Let me see here. Well, he's only graded 23 because there are a whole bunch of new ones, like Trent Baalke is not in there, Nick Caserio, okay. Joe Douglas. But so he is graded all the way down to 23.
Okay,
so and at 23 is Mike Mayock and John Gruden.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's true. Yeah, well, it's hard to argue with.
So Dave
probably going to draft Christian Barmore, by the way.
Yeah, all in the from 20 down, Ryan Pace. Howie Roseman, Dave Gettleman, and then Mike Mayock / John Gruden. And they say he puts Gruden in there because even though Mayock is the general manager, let's face it, John Gruden's picking players, not Mayock. Yeah. So what's funny about it is that Light, they put best and worst picks for all these guys.
Right.
And for Jason Light, his best pick, not surprisingly.
It was surprising to me.
Really?
I say who it was, and I'll give you who I thought it was going to be.
Well, because the worst pick is what surprised me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Tristan Wirfs is the best pick.
Arguable.
I mean, who I
Mike Evans.
Was that Light or was that Mark Dominic?
That was Light's first year, I think. I'm pretty sure, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
14. Yeah, I think it may have been. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head because Mark Dominic left with Shiano, and that was 13. Yes. Yeah, that was Mike Evans was Light's first pick.
There you go. So Mike Evans
and Tristan Wirfs.
I just think Mike gets the nod because of the bigger sample size.
Perhaps worst pick.
What about Devin White?
Devin White's really good too.
Yeah, he's really good. What about Villavea? Someone G-Vea says in chat, and he says White. Yeah, like I mean, so that's, like I said, arguable. But I'm not going to sit here and bag on Tristan Wirfs.
Worst pick though. Yeah. Vernon Hargreaves.
I was shocked. It was Aguayo.
You took Roberto Aguayo in the second round.
Yes.
You took a kicker in the second round, and he sucked.
Yeah, that's the part. Like, taking a kicker in the second round, like, you can sort of forgive if you have, like, a Sebastian Janikowski 20-year career and 18 of them with him or with your team. Like, yes, I took a kicker in the second round, and he's now our leading scorer, and I haven't had to address the position in two decades.
Yeah. You didn't draft Morton Anderson. Yes. You drafted the Morton Salt girl, for crying out loud.
Oh, nice. Wow. It's about as harsh as Carney gets.
Yeah, it really is. But yeah, to have Vernon Hargreaves as your worst pick, that was kind of shocking.
Yeah. I think it was Aguayo. But, you know, kudos to Jason Light. And we're about to get into some, I'm going to bring up a criticism of Jason Light, and we're about to get into it. But I would like to start off by saying, like, I think that his third place here in the GM power rankings, is well deserved. You know, we have always been a big supporter, or I should say, I have always been a big supporter of Jason Light on the PeterCast.
I've met Jason. I like him a lot.
I'm talking about job wise. I don't, you know, I haven't met him personally. I had a conversation with him, but I even defended the Aguayo pick at the time, just like, and basically what I said then about, you know, okay, well, you know, you don't have to look at the position next 15 years and he's going to retire, you know, why I was going to retire with the most points in Buccaneers history. Like, yeah, two's high, but look what you got for it. But it didn't work out. So, but I even defended Jason Light because I understood the thinking. You know, he was the best college kicker ever of all time, accuracy wise. So I got it. And so I'm all for Jason Light. I am very pro Jason Light, but what we're about to talk about is something that I think needs to be discussed. And it's not banging on Jason Light and saying that, you know, he needs to get out and this is terrible. But when he talks about the draft, he's always talking about the future and talks about how they scout players like 2 years before they think when they're going to come out. Mm-hmm. So they're starting, you know, they're scouting guys their freshman year, their sophomore year, and like the Bucs might not have them projected to come out till a senior. So they're always looking at the future and putting in this work, and they're looking 2-3 drafts ahead. But what we have to discuss here is this draft, where it's lined up the worst for the Bucs' biggest need, which is getting younger on the edge and getting younger at the defensive tackle position, not necessarily the nose guard, but the two tackles and the edge, and this draft is just terrible for it.
Yeah.
So should Buck fans be frustrated or upset at Jason Light and his scouts and I'm going to call it the future department from now on. Should the Buck fans be upset at the future department? Again, I think Jason Light's doing a great job. But if you look at this one specific part of what Jason's like done, if you just focus on this one thing, can you describe it as anything more than a failure?
I talked a little bit during this break, so you may have to cut it out.
I was gonna let you blab away. Where are we at?
Oh, I was saying that G Vegas said he thinks that it was graded on the past four drafts, but Hargreaves was drafted in 16, so that's already five.
Yeah, man, it doesn't matter. So anyway, let's just pick up when so can it be described as anything but a failure?
I don't think it's a failure per se, but I you look at it as, you know, you try and look at how do I want to word this? Because
harshly.
Well, it's but it's like it could be like an act of God. You know, all of a sudden you're looking at these guys and all of a sudden it's like, holy crap, you know, this guy's hurt. This guy doesn't look as good.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. Like, do we factor in COVID and players opting out and maybe, you know, guys that didn't sort of develop as they thought they would going up the road. Does that go into the conversation?
Yeah, I think it has to. I think you're going to make that. You're going to have that be part of the conversation. And that's why I think that even though we may see, whether it's defensive tackle or edge rusher, being kind of thin.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thin. Well, I mean, I was being nice.
I know you were being Carney and I'm being Ren. Kind of exactly. Thin. That's yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
Thin. Kind of like kind of.
Yeah.
Pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, turkey at a Jewish deli is kind of thin, then. If you're calling this defensive tackle class kind of thin, then yeah, that's kind of thin.
But it's thin as to recognition from guys like you and guys that understand what the draft looks like. In a war room, though, they might be going, we should be taking a look at, remember this guy? Remember he opted out this year?
Mm-hmm,
he didn't play this year. That's a guy that may end up becoming value for teams because
yeah, 2 years down the road, and we have that luxury.
That's the beauty of things right now. We're able to go into battle on the gridiron with what we have right now. So
it's true. But okay, so yes, all that is true, and I agree. And again, I'm going to start again, prefacing saying, look, I'm not calling for Jason Light's job, and I think he's done more than a fantastic job. You look at this roster, like I don't think like any day three guys even make the roster this year. Like,
yeah, you're probably
right. That point, and none of the draft picks are going to start, like none of them. So it's really hard to, be like, GM's doing a terrible job. But again, on this one instance, if you take in, to consideration COVID, players opting out, shortened season, all the things that you can pile in sort of like the yeah, but column for Jason Light, okay, add those in. But he did construct this roster this way. He knew where the weaknesses were going to be down the line. We are here now down the line. We are here now down the line on this draft for this edge class, defensive tackle class. Again, include all the yeah buts with him. From 1 to 10, how perplexed, frustrated, angry, mad, head scratching are you at Jason Light and his future staff about not setting this team up for not having these needs in this draft? Like they could have went out and they could have signed another edge rusher.
Yeah.
They could have signed another defensive tackle.
They could have.
Yeah. So from 1 to 10, where on this specific issue, 1 being absolute failure and 10 being, oh my God, your God's given talent to GMs. Where do you fall? Where do you put Jason? What number do you give Jason Light and his future staff?
I'd say 7.
7?
Yeah. It's not a big deal to me.
That's no blame at all.
I'm not blaming.
It's not a big deal to you. Okay. No. Next year, no Sue, no JPP, no Golston.
Hopefully a stronger draft class.
but now we're picking 32 again.
Are we?
Of course we are. We're going in the middle of our 29-0 run.
Are we not dropping out of 32 and maybe getting a first round pick next year?
That's true.
And then you're able to package 2 first round picks and move up if need be.
For an edge?
For whatever you need. If you feel that strongly about a guy.
Yeah, I get that. But a 7? I mean, 7's like a B. Like a B, yeah. Like a solid B. Yeah. So you think Jason Light setting this in this specific situation for needing youth and talent along the defensive line, you think Jason Light's done a 7 setting up this team for this draft?
I think he's done. He's got a 7. He does a 7 because there isn't that much of a need because of what they've been able to do free agency wise.
Who's the third edge rusher on this team?
Me.
Exactly.
You want an edge rush? How's your swim move there, Ren?
Pretty good. But my cardio is bad. Like, I'm like, you know, like
Your cardio is bad. You've seen me in person.
I smoke.
How do you think my cardio is?
I smoke.
I'm almost 300 pounds. I could
really?
Yeah, I'm probably pretty close.
No, then you're playing DT then. I have to play edge.
There we go.
We got it. Third DT and third edge right here. Solved live. It's seven.
Solved it.
And I'll play for that because what's the Bucks? They've got $1,080,000.
Yep.
I'll take the 80,000. Like, that's not even a minimum. Like, just give me free lunch. Buy me a new car. How about that? Buy Carney's wife a new car. Buy me a new car.
There we go.
And, you know, it can be used.
That's right.
As long as it's certified.
Take our knees out all you want. Hey, I want to ask you, because we're going to get going on the
four tops, three is what my grade is.
Really?
Yeah, it's really a terrible job. It is. Look, it's a terrible for finding talent in this draft for your biggest need. It's a three or a four.
And you're an angry old man.
I'm practical. And you watch freaking Rainbow Bright and Care Bears.
Pollyanna. That's what they call me. I don't remember anything
about Pollyanna. All I remember is like she climbed the tree and fell and like paralyzed herself. Why are you called a Pollyanna? Like, what's that reference?
That everything is sunshine and rainbows. Everything is always positive.
Is that what that movie was about?
Yeah.
Okay.
So because she's always very positive.
An old Disney live action movie, by the way, if anybody doesn't know who Pollyanna is, starring, I think, Haley Mills. And I think she's like in her 60s, maybe her 70s by now. And she's in it when she's a teenager.
Yeah, so. I think she was like 13 or 14 at that point. So,
and she's been dead for 2 decades.
So we've talked a lot about Jason Light, but now with the players, you know, drafts in less than 2 weeks, and then you're gonna start getting into what is the off-season program, as I use my air quotes here.
Yes.
Bucks players are not going to participate in face-to-face voluntary workouts at the facility, and they're not alone there. So I'm curious, in your opinion, are voluntary off-season workouts really that important anymore?
Really that important anymore? No. I would still like to have them. Now, let's sort of take this back to the beginning. Like, off-season workouts were sort of done to bring guys in and sort of check up on them. Like, how much weight have you gained, Fatty Boomba Laddie? You know, since the season, you know. But now with these type of athletes, and there's so much money involved, and they understand that they need to stay in shape year-round, and then, you know, now this new, I'll call it the TB12 movement, but, you know, guys that are understanding that if you take care of your bodies – in all sports, if you take care of your bodies better and watch what you eat and get your sleep and all that type of stuff and hydrate, like, you can extend your career by, you know, like 5 years, you know, like crazy outlier. So, and then that's, you know, 5 years can be like $20 million to $50 million more dollars if you're a tier one player. So I think that these players take it more seriously. So you don't really need this, hey, come on and check up. Like, okay. Like, you know, season's been over for like 3 months now. You need to, here's the training program. Like, you know, quit eating, you know, a KFC bucket of fried chicken twice a day. It's football's so coming delicious. Soon. So that's kind of where it started, where they could kind of gauge where these players were. So I don't think they're necessary. I would still like to see them come into the facility, especially if they're players coming off an injury, coming off a surgery, new players that are like, you know, like a Bernard, you know, who hasn't been in the system at all, things like that, and sort of touch base and then get a face to face and be able to hand them, you know, sort of, here's what we want you to do in the off season as far as workouts. And, you know, if you have any questions there, I understand all that can be done, you know, through a Zoom call or, you know, through StreamYard or whatever you want to do. I just, I just, I think it's important sort of to touch base after 3 months. Now, are they absolutely necessary? Now, going out on the field for those 3 days in, you know, helmets and shorts and toss the ball around the yard? No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But for the, you know, for the nutritionist, the weight trainer, you know, the rehab people, I think, yeah, I would really like to see it continue. But if it doesn't continue, I'm not going to lose any sleep over.
Yeah, for me, voluntary off-season workouts benefit two people, or two groups, I should say. The injured and the brand new. You know, rookies trying to acclimate themselves to the lifestyle of the NFL and the playbook and everything that goes along with being a professional football player. You mm-hmm. need those sessions. If you're injured, you want to be in there. You want to be able to rehab. You want to be able to have teams check up on you and make sure that you are on pace for a return whenever you're supposed to return.
Right.
Everybody else, it doesn't matter because everybody else is already still fit and they're all working out in the offseason anyway. And they're all doing work. You're all doing individual work anyway during the offseason. I think that once you get into, you know, the mandatory mini camps and the OT, you know, those activities are going to be where you're going to be able to start building the chemistry, if you will, for yeah. that upcoming season. This voluntary stuff, three days in shorts and a helmet.
And then, you know, not walking, coming back for another like month and a half. Yeah. It's like, stupid. Yeah, you know, you, I don't know. Stupid.
No, it's
I like not, it because not. I like it as a fan because I get at least a little like, hey, look, there's a picture of Mike Evans. Hey, look, there's a pic. Look, here's a little video of Tom Brady throwing to Mike Evans. Oh, that's so great to see.
He looks good.
Yeah. Wow.
They look good.
Undefeated, baby. Look at that throw.
Unbelievable.
So as a fan, I definitely want that. But yeah, but so these new rules that sort of the NFL and NFL PA has sort of agreed upon, like the only difference really is from not last year, but a regular year. So we'll just say 2018 is that these OTAs that we were talking about, these voluntary mini camps that happened right before the draft are now virtual. But everything else after that, sort of like after the draft, mm-hmm. when they have mini camp and all those other things and like, you know, day one, it's always been like day one, you can only talk to the trainers. Day two, you can go out on the field, but you're only out with the physical therapy guys. And then day three, you're out there in helmets and shorts and you can run around the yard for a little bit. That's all the same though, right?
As far as I know.
Yeah, the way I read it, that's all the same. So the only thing that's really different this year than from any other year prior to last year, you know, any other year, is just that instead of coming in for those 3 days and me getting to see Tom Brady throw a spiral to Scotty Miller 60 yards down the field, is that that just doesn't happen. And they're not coming to show up to the facility, right?
Yes. That's how I read it.
Yeah, that's where I read it too. So
yeah,
I'm, you know, I'll survive.
Of course we'll survive. We'll survive and we'll enjoy it. But I just think
I will not enjoy it. I will survive.
You will survive. Thanks, Gloria. there's another reference. Gloria Gaynor, I will survive reference there. Last thing,
the singer of the song.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, last thing for me.
Yeah. Sure.
Today, April the 16th is the last day that Aaron Rodgers mm-hmm. will be the guest host on Jeopardy. I'm a big Jeopardy fan. I think Rodgers has done a really good job as the guest host.
Oh yeah,
I think out of everybody that's done it so far, I think he's probably, I think he's in the top two. I think Mike Richards, who is the executive producer of Jeopardy, was the best, and Aaron is probably second, and then Ken Jennings and Katie Couric, and then Dr. Oz is like way down here.
Did Dr. Oz do it?
Had Dr. Oz on, and he was awful.
Yeah, he's awful on his own show when he's talking about something he knows about.
Exactly. So okay. So my question to you mm-hmm. is, which Bucks player
would
you think would make a good game show host?
Okay. Here's my question. And I haven't thought about this at all. So I just thought about this while you're saying this. Are we talking Jeopardy or are we talking like a regular game show?
We're talking any type of game show.
Okay, because Jeopardy is really not a game show.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a quiz show.
Not, yeah, it's a quiz show. Like Wheel of Fortune's a game show. Like Joker's okay. Wild's a game
yeah.
show.
Yes. You know? Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, you
okay.
see what I'm so saying?
Yeah. Well, let's say it's Wheel of Fortune.
Because with Jeopardy, it's not really about personality. It's a little bit about personality, but it's more about being very, you know, stately and stoic and, you know, almost like stiff upper smart. Lip. Yes. But, yes.
So all right. So yeah, just regularly like Price is Right or something like, you know.
Card Sharks.
Card Sharks.
Gotcha. Let's see. I still do love game shows.
Because there are two guys that I have in mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Fantastic. Okay. I mean, for me, if you're going to have a show like Wipeout, which I enjoy immensely as well.
It's guys, not a game show.
It's kind of a game show. I mean,
oh, really?
It's a competition show, yeah.
It's a competition show. I mean, so is the NFL. So is college basketball then.
They're competing. No, but like I could see Gronk doing like hosting like Wipeout, you know, yes. some of those
way over the top Gronk would be great at.
Gronk would be great at. And the other guy for me is Ali Marpet. Ali is so interesting, and I think that he would be really funny. Like, and you know, I think he would be a good game show host. Like, and you know, doing Card Sharks or Joker's Wild or The Price is Right.
Yeah,
I mean, how funny would it be to, you know, have a new car? You know, winning a new car from Ali Marpet.
I think Ali's a good one. I thought about Donovan Smith for a second. But he gets snarky real easy. So I don't think it'd be something he'd be really interested in.
He might be a good Jeopardy host then.
yeah. Actually, I think the best Jeopardy host on the Buccaneers would be Sue. And I don't think it's close.
Oh, yeah.
I love me some Dominican Sue. When you're you've got to be likable. And sort of being a recency bias here, like Juvar Bernard, he was very like, I liked him a lot. So, I think Sue would be great.
Yep.
Vea's too quiet. Not Shaq, not JPP. Golson, no. Levante Davis, too quiet. I think Sean Murphy Bunting would do a good job if he lost those stupid baby dreads, baby twists. He has to get a normal haircut. You can't be looking at like Coolio's baby. I just don't like, I don't dig that that hairstyle at all. It doesn't look good on anybody. No one. Like it looks like you just got out of the shower or like you just worked in the yard for, you know, all day long. Like, you know, this, like, you know, it's like, what's that old war poster with the lady with the muscle?
Oh yeah. Rosie the Riveter.
Rosie the Riveter. Yeah. You look like the male version of Rosie the Riveter. Like, wow. I'm getting it out of my way. I don't care about it. I'm just doing this because like, I need this out of my face at all times. Like it's not a style. It's more of I don't know. So anyway,
G Vegas says Devin White has a great smile to be a game show host. I could see Devin White hosting something like American Gladiators.
Yeah, he needs a few more years under his belt, maturity wise. But I can see Devin White definitely has a personality to be a good game show host. And that's why I picked Sean Murphy Bunting of his personality. I don't really know enough about Antoine Winfield or Whitehead or Edwards really to sort of do that. Mm-hmm. Along the offensive line, Kappa, no. I mean, no offense, but like
Ryan Jensen would beat up contestants.
I think Ryan Jensen would be good like on a cooking show because he enjoys it so much and he'd be very engaged, you know. I don't know if you really call that a game show. When I see Alex Kappa's, you know, no offense, and I'm sure it's wrong, like I'm always surprised he has the right shoe on the right foot. Like, I mean, you know, he's become a much better player than I kind of hoped he would be. He just got, you know, the most bonus money for incentives for like basically playing above your contract of everybody in the entire NFL. He got the most money. So obviously he's doing great, and I'm glad he's a Buccaneer. I think Tristan Wirth, also another great smile, could possibly do it. I think he's got the right demeanor for it.
Yep.
Mike Evans, no. Chris Godwin, he's a little too stick up the butt for a game show host.
Miller.
Yeah. No. Of course, we got to go Brady. I mean, but he wouldn't want it. He just doesn't. He would not care enough to even try to do a good job.
Unless it was sponsored by TB12, he wouldn't.
Very good. Yeah, the TB12 game show featuring Tom Brady. But then he'd do it for like, he'd like show up and wave, and then, you know, he'd hire Sean Murphy Bunting to be the actual host, where
exactly
he could just come out and wave and collect all the money. So yeah, he would not do it at all. So, I mean, you know, Winfield Jr., you know, yeah, at least here's what G Vegas says.
Yeah. Like that, he can be a host of Let's Make a Deal. You want door number three, door number one, or door number
deuces? Yeah, he just needs to be on a show called Deuces Wild. Just make a show called Deuces, and he's naturally the host. So yeah, I think my best pick would be Sue, and I'm a you know, if you've listened to the show long enough, I'm unabashedly a Sue lover. Yeah. For a host like Jeopardy. And then as far as like sort of the other ones, I'm sticking with Sean Murphy Bunting.
Yeah. Oh, the other person would be Cam Brate, only because he's smart, and he's going to need that $2 million.
He's smart, but every time I hear Cam talk again, he's one of those people that I'm shocked, like the shoe's on the right foot. he's just so goofy to me. And not that like you're goofy, I don't like you, you're done. Like, he's just, to me, he's just a goofball. Like, yeah. He doesn't come off as someone who went to Harvard, which now, again,
he's another wipeout guy.
I don't think he has enough personality to do Wipeout. I don't think it's big enough. Like,
what's the mini golf guy one that they do?
No, I don't know.
Really. There's one on ABC about mini golf that always makes me laugh.
Cam Brate needs to be someone's sidekick that gets picked on all the time. Where you can just sit there and go, oh, yeah, you're right. You know what I mean? Maybe the guy that introduces the people that come down the aisle, you know, come on down. Like, he could,
oh, my God,
that
would be funny. Yes. Yeah. That would be great.
That's as much I put for Cam Brate.
If you have an idea of who you want to see as a Bucks player, be a game show host, you can always tweet at the PeterCast. You can always tweet us as well, as we got to get on out of here. Ren,
yeah.
It's time for the Ren Addiction.
Yep.
Where can people find you to talk Buccaneers?
Best place to find me is at Big Storm Brew on draft night.
Yes.
Yes, I'll be there with Carney. Remember, we're doing the beer and poster giveaway for you, and there'll be some t-shirts there that some young man has designed and is trying to raise money to go to grad school, USF. So we're going to put those on our table. We'll be doing some other things. Joe Bucks Fan is doing lots of giveaways. They've told me that they're working on some Bucks players. They had some, but because of COVID, the team kind of squashed it. The organization kind of squashed it a little bit. So they're working a different angle. So they're going to have their, you know, Ira, of course, going to be there, and CB is going to be there, and new Bucks fans will be there.
That's so right. We can have Ira and maybe interview an Ira.
maybe we'll have the dueling Iras, and I'll play piano in the background. Best place besides that, any other place to find me, best place is on Twitter at Rendax, RN_DAXT. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football, but if you think your tweet's too hot, you don't want to put it up there in the Twitter sphere, feel free to slide in my DMs, and I'll talk Buccaneers football there with you as well, too.
Yeah, I mean, you can follow me on Twitter at Steve Carney. You can always check out, I've got a plenty of Rays stuff as well at stpete9.com. Been a rough week.
How are the Rays doing?
Awful. Awful. They dropped 3 out of 4 to maybe the worst team in the American League West, in the Texas Rangers. They are in last place in the American League East right now, getting ready to start a series with the Yankees. And the city of St. Petersburg looks like they are coming around to the idea that the Rays may be playing half their season in Montreal in a couple of years. So I'm not very happy about that. But go to St. Pete 9 anyway.
What's their biggest need? First baseman?
First baseman. They need
anybody that can hit the ball.
Yeah. And then,
a closer.
Don't get me started on that.
Middle relievers.
Yeah, they're gonna be
some guys that can play the outfield.
Yeah, maybe they could. They need a first baseman. They need guys that don't swing and miss at everything right now. So, but yeah, you can catch that at stpete9.com and the Under the Orange Roof podcast. Also there with myself and actress Ellen Adair this week from the Showtime shows Homeland and Billions. She was on Bull this week on CBS as assistant DA Glover.
Why is she on your race podcast?
She has a podcast. She and her husband do a podcast about baseball movies.
Oh, okay. So,
which
good yet.
So we talked. So we got a chance to talk about what makes a good baseball movie, mm-hmm. and whether or not she's ever going to watch the Disney movie The Rookie about Jim Morris.
She hasn't seen that yet.
She has not done the pod. She has not done a podcast about it yet. She hasn't seen it.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
So she has seen it. Well, she has not done the podcast
though. What did you guys agree on was the best? What's the top thing that makes a good baseball movie?
You want believable baseball action. It doesn't have to be all baseball action, but you need it to be somewhat believable.
Right.
So like we
the look difference at, of Charlie Sheen pitching and Tim Robbins pitching.
Exactly. You know, and so we talked about how we liked 42, the mm-hmm. Jackie Robinson movie. Bull Durham is always up there. You know, Field of Dreams is not a believable, you know, premise, but you know, it's dead people coming out of a cornfield. Come on.
Believable?
No, not believable at all. Sorry. Okay. But yeah, you know, so and then there are a couple of others that, from back in the day. And we talked about, some of the really good, baseball movies like Sugar is a baseball movie that a lot of people don't know about. It's about the Negro Leagues. And the baseball in it is rather believable. So that looks like it's not like just about baseball, but the baseball in it's really good. So lots of good baseball talk on Under the Orange Roof, myself and actress Ellen Adair, which is available now wherever you get your favorite podcasts, like the Petercast, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. You're sleeping. Glenn is what? Sleeping.
Sorry. I thought I was at a Rays game. My bad. Yeah.
Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, ratings, reviews, we like them. Give them to us.
Yes.
So we will talk to you next week as we get one mm-hmm. week closer to the NFL draft. And until next time, go buck yourself.
I forgot again.
Forgot again.
I did. So I still have to find it. Where is that?